I always like it whenever our loved ones, we have a little hiccup and something happens, and out comes the list. You remember when you, and you, and then you, and we get the list. Remember the list you was forgiven for? It's still there. It don't go away. But that's not true with God's love. God's love erases all of our sins. It erases our past. It's true unconditional love.
Thank you for listening to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast with Pastor Mark Abney. Brother Mark delivered his sermon titled, The Love of God, and he preached from 1 John chapter 3. And now, Brother Mark.
Said, you may be seated. The title of this message is The Love of God. The love of God. So what is God's love like? Well, let's unpack that a little bit. And God is the definition of love. When you start talking about the love of God, God is what love is defined as. And the Bible says in 1 John 4:8 that God is love. For those who believe there is a God, we all agree on that one thing, that God is love. The Bible says a lot about the love of God. The love of God is greatly misunderstood by most people. You see, God's love is perfect and God's love is unconditional. Many biblical words such as mercy, compassion, love, grace, faithfulness relate to a Hebrew word that's called Hesed, H-E-S-E-D, Hesed. The word Hesed is hard to summarize the concept, but we'll take a stab at it. Hesed is not merely an emotion or a feeling, but involves an action on behalf of someone who is in need. Hesed describes a sense of love and loyalty that inspires merciful and compassionate behavior towards another person. Hesed is found 250 times in the Old Testament and expresses an essential part of God's character. When God appeared to Moses to give him the law the second time, he described himself as abounding in love, filled with Hesed, which is translated love and faithfulness, unfailing love, faithful love, steadfast love, loyal love. Our God is a God whose love never fails. God is faithful, and God is steadfast, and God is patient with us, and God loves everyone who was ever born. In the Bible, Hesed often describes mercy and compassion of God. When Moses interceded for the people, he appealed to God's Hesed. He said, "The Lord is slow to anger and filled with unfailing Hesed, love, forgiving every kind of sin and rebellion. In keeping with your magnificent unfailing Hesed, love, please pardon the sins of the people, just as you have forgiven them ever since they left Egypt." God's faithful love, His Hesed, is eternal and it's limitless. God's covenant relationship with His people results in a loyal love and faithfulness, a Hesed, even when His people are unfaithful to Him. Always at the heart of God lies His love. A generous sense of compassion, grace, and mercy for His people. Hesed surpasses ordinary kindness and friendship, and it is the inclination of the heart to show amazing grace to one who is loved. The message of the gospel, God's act of forgiveness and salvation in Jesus Christ, is rooted in the word Hesed. You see, that is the ultimate act of love when God gives Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. That forgiveness comes to us freely as a gift from God based upon His sacrificial act of love through Jesus Christ, His only Son. In the New Testament, love is the theme. And just like the song says, love is the theme. Ephesians 1:4 says, be holy and without blame before Him in love. And in Ephesians 2, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love, which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. In Ephesians 3, it says, rooted and grounded in love. And in 3:19, it says, know the love of Christ in which surpasses all knowledge. In Ephesians 4, it says, forbearance to one another in love. In Ephesians 5, Paul urges the believers to walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself for you, an offering and a sacrifice and a sweet aroma unto God. And in Ephesians 6, it says, peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with a love that is incorruptible. The greatest description of God's love in all the Bible is probably found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. It goes like this. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but I have not love, I've become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all the mysteries and knowledge, and though I have the faith that can remove mountains, but if I have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in inequity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there's tongues, they will quit. Where there's knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face, and now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. And now abideth faith and hope and love, but the greatest of all three is love. In that description of love, in Corinthians, we see the love of God. The love of God that is perfect. And you and I look at that and we might try to mimic that love, but only God has perfect love, unconditional love. You see, as humans, we say we love you if. We love you when. We love you but. You know, there's always a condition, right? And we're the quickest to quit loving people. You know, all of a sudden they do something to us and we don't love them anymore. And we're also the quickest to love things that are not lovable, like cars and stories and inanimate objects, which you can show no action of love towards. Love is an action word. And it talked about God's hesed. It's an action word towards somebody else. And if you love somebody else, you show your affection and your love towards them by having these qualities that are in the faith chapter. I always like it whenever our loved ones, we have a little hiccup and something happens. And out comes the list. You remember when you, and you, and then you, and we get the list. Remember the list you was forgiven for? It's still there. It don't go away. But that's not true with God's love. God's love erases all of our sins. It erases our past. It's true unconditional love. 1 John 3:14-17 says this, "We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. And he who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this. He laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him?" You see the action that's in that passage of Scripture? You could say you love somebody, but if you never have action that proves your love to them, then how do they know they're loved? Love is an action word. God's love is infinite. It's limitless. It's unfathomable. Psalms 103:11 says, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love to those who love Him." God's love for us is immense. It's enormous. It's huge. It's higher than the heavens. You know, we can see up into the heavens. I don't know how far up in the heavens you can see. Maybe on a clear day, several miles, right? But they go on and on. Maybe on a really clear day, you can see a jet way up there, and it's reflecting a little bit of light, kind of like a star. But you cannot see clearly that far. But think how high the heavens are. And then think about the third heaven, how far out that is. Higher than them heavens is the love of God. Isaiah 63:7 says, "I shall make mention of the love of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has granted us, and the great goodness towards the house of Israel, which he has granted to them according to his compassion and according to the multitude of his love." Ephesians 3:18-19, it says, "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God." God's love fills us to overflowing. And when we feel and see and know the love of God, it overwhelms us because we are undeserving of God's great love. Amen? But His grace surpasses all of our sin. For all of eternity, we should ponder the love of God, and we will never be fully able to comprehend His love, for it is infinite. God's love is eternal. Psalms 136:1-2 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love is everlasting." Give thanks to the God of gods, for His love is everlasting. It never goes away. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with hesed, with loving kindness." The value of an article is due largely to how long it endures. And we know many antiquities that are worth a lot. We have heirlooms in our families that are worth a lot because they're very old and they've been passed down from generation to generation. And the longer something endures, the greater its value. Gold and precious stones last a very long time, and that's why they're worth so much. They're worth more usually than wood and paper, which do not last as long. But think about God's love. God's love is everlasting. It never goes away. What is the value of God's love? You cannot put a price on it. God's love is immutable. It's changeless. How quickly human love can turn to hate, but God's love is not like that. His love never changes. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and His love is always the same towards us. Solomon 8:6-7 says, "Put me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm, for love is as strong as death. Jealousy is as severe as Sheol. It flashes and it flashes fire, the very flame of the Lord. Many waters cannot quench love, nor its rivers overflow it. If a man were to give all his riches of his house for love, it would be utterly despised. Micah 7:8 says, "Who is God? Who is a God like thee? Who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious acts of the remnant of his possession? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in his unchanging love." Micah 7:20 says, "Thou wilt give truth to Jacob and unchanging love to Abraham, which thou didst swear before our forefathers in the days of old." God's love never changes, and it endures forever. God's love is a gift of grace. It's a gift. Grace is unearned favor. There's nothing you or I could do to earn God's love. He just gives it to us freely. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, the great verse that everybody knows, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." God's grace is an action of his love. Romans 10:13 says, "Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." God's grace loves us before we ever loved him. In Romans 5:8 says, "God demonstrated his own love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." We must conclude that love is a choice, and it's God's choice, and he chooses to love us, not because of anything we have done or will do, but simply a choice of his sovereign grace. God loves us because he's chosen to love us. Like God, God's love is holy, and it's given to us through the Holy Scripture. In James 1:17, it says, "Every good thing bestowed and every good perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation, in whom there is no shadow of turning." Romans 5:5 and says, "And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." God's love is always an expression of God's holiness, and it's always directed towards producing holiness in us who believe in him. God's love seeks to sanctify us and make us holy. Ephesians 1:4, "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love." God's love is sacrificial. God's love is not self-serving, but it's sacrificial love, and it comes at a high cost. And the one who loves is the one who is willing to pay the price. In John 3:16, we know, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And in John 15:13, it says, "Greater love has no one than this, that one would lay down his life for his friends." Romans 5:8 says, "God demonstrates his own love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And in Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of the God who loved me and delivered himself for me." You see, Jesus loved you so much that he laid down his life for you. And there's no greater sacrifice than one that would lay down his life for another. We know people that have laid down their life for us. Veterans. They've laid down their life, they've given up all their freedoms, and they went and fought for us and our freedom. And we are grateful to them because they loved us with that type of action. But no one has laid down their life for everyone but Jesus Christ. He loved more than anyone could love when he laid down his life so that anyone who called upon his name could be saved. Love always has a price tag, and the lover is gladly willing to pay the price. God set his love on us and purposed to save us through the sacrificial death of his Son, Jesus Christ. Finally, God's love is personal and individual. God's love is an expression of his goodness towards individual sinners. And God loves you personally intimately. He wants to have a relationship with you. And He wants to live in your heart. And He wants you to eat supper with Him and you with Him and have communion with Him and talk to Him and walk with Him and talk with Him every day of your life. 2 Thessalonians, Paul writes, "We are bound to give thanks to God always for you, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through the sanctification by the Spirit, and believe in the truth to which He called you by our gospel for obtaining the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." In conclusion, the first and foremost question I must ask is, have you accepted the love of God? Have you accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ as He laid down His life for you? And have you said yes to Him, and have you asked Jesus to come into your heart and save you and live inside you? The acceptance of the sacrificial death of Jesus on the cross of Calvary is God's grace and love to you. And He wants to save you and take you to live with Him forever in eternity. To reject Jesus Christ is an attempt to stand before God in your own righteousness, and it's rejection of God's love. Only those who trust in Jesus Christ can experience the expression and the action of God's love. In our witness to a sinful, lost, and dying world, we dare not cheapen or discount the grace and love of God. God is the one who defines love, not us. God has defined His love in His Word, and we can read about God's great love and know that He loves us with that everlasting, overwhelming, endless love. We are to enjoy the benefits of God's love. We only need to embrace it through the faith in Jesus Christ, and we also need to actively engage in it in our lifestyle. John 15, 9 and 10, "Just as the Father has loved me, I have loved you," Jesus said. "Now abide in my love. If you love me, keep my commandments. You will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abided in His love." May God grant that we may enter more and more into His love each day that we walk with Him, and that we may become instruments of His love to a lost and dying world, that we might have the light of love that we carry as a torch into this dark world that we live in. Would you stand and pray with me? Father God, I thank You for Your love for us. And Lord, You've lavished it upon us. And Lord, it is indeed overwhelming. It is indeed more than we can even think about. And Lord, it never changes. And Lord, no matter what we do, You forgive us and still love us the same. Lord, I thank You that for the great example of love that You've given us. And Lord, for Your Word that we can read about how great Your love is and all the action that goes with love. Lord, help us to love other people. Help us to love them in a way that they would want the same love that we have, which is the love that You've given us in our heart as we come to know You as Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray this morning, if there's one person that has heard these words that's never accepted Your love, that today would be the day that they say yes to You. Today would be the day that they accept Your love and Your grace and Your mercy and Your forgiveness. Today would be the day that they accept Your great sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who laid down His life that we might have life. Lord, I pray this morning that as Your children, that we never take Your love for granted. And Lord, that we see Your love, we accept Your love, and then we love others with the same love which You've given us, that they too may want what we have. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to be singing page 324.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we'd ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in the local church and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.